All right, good. So we're finally in the regular agenda. 566, please.
Replace park exclusion code to clarify ejection and exclusion processes from city parks to improve parks management and safety at park facilities.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. We'd like to welcome two honored guests, Vicente Harrison, who is Parks Security and Emergency Manager, and Senior Deputy City Attorney Linda Law, who are going to give us a brief presentation. Where is Todd? Todd, do we have a handout for the council? Okay, good. Colleagues, we had a number of very thoughtful questions that we received from council offices over the last couple days. And so our team has produced a one-page document which just confirms the information we've shared with the offices. And our hope is that it also focuses on what we're proposing today and, equally important, what we're not proposing, because this is actually fairly narrow in scope. Let me do a brief introduction. Portland City Code Title 20 includes parks rules to ensure Portland parks and recreation properties and facilities are safe for everyone, both visitors and our employees. Today, we will consider a narrow update to our exclusion rules. There are several goals to the proposed update. First, to recognize that different types of parks property require different rules, that community centers and pools need to be managed differently than parks and open spaces. Second, to recognize that certain violations are more serious than others. Currently, bias crimes, child abuse, elder abuse, and other serious infractions are treated the same as smoking and minor property damage. Finally, this update maintains due process rights while strengthening protections for vulnerable users and workers, including our team workforce. Now I'd like to turn this presentation over to Mr. Harrison, our esteemed Parks Security and Emergency Manager.
Thank you, Commissioner Fish. Thank you, City Council. Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Vicente Harrison, Security and Emergency Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. Since I began my career in parks 8 years ago, it has been evident that Title 20 was intended to help manage our outdoor assets and has been silent on facilities. This update clarifies the different needs between parks and facilities. Facilities include community centers, pools, golf courses, and Portland International Raceway. These locations have several key differences from parks, including structured programming, high frequency use by all ages, a concentrated environment, and body sensitive spaces like locker rooms and pools. Facilities are not only draw for children and families, but also frequently staffed by young people. For example, our lifeguards are primarily teenagers. Without causing alarm, I want to flag that both visitors and staff have reported isolated examples of concerning behavior. Today's update helps rangers and other staff keep everyone safe. Under the current rule, if someone is excluded from a community center, it only applies at that one center. So that individual could go to another community center and repeat the same behavior. I'd like to mention that in my experience, our contacts with visitors and educations about the rules of conduct to visitors has increased. Before I turn it over to Linda for more details about the proposed code update, I would like to give you a brief overview of the Ranger program. Park Rangers offer a positive presence in Portland parks and facilities. Rangers are non-sworn enforcement officials who are given the authority under the city code to enforce park rules and maintain safety. Rangers serve multiple roles, including providing information, helping users solve conflicts, and enforcing city codes such as dog leash and scoop laws, events permit use, drug and alcohol rules, and other park rules. Overall, Portland parks are very safe. Park rangers maintain relationships and contacts with law enforcement, Multnomah County Animal Control, neighborhood associations, and social service partners to identify, prevent, and address concerns. All rangers are trained to assess a given situation and use verbal persuasion and problem-solving skills to gain voluntary compliance. If warranted, they can call upon other emergency partners, appropriate partners. I want to emphasize, too, that we offer park rangers a customized diversity and equity training specific to rangers and how we enforce our rules in our parks. Now I'd like to turn it over to Linda Law to give an overview of the existing code and the proposed updates.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you, Mayor. Park Ranger Harrison, I have a question for you. You introduced yourself as a park ranger and you do security and emergency management. Could you elaborate more on what is the mission? What is that an accurate title? You do emergency management?
Yeah, so my correct title is Security and Emergency Manager. I started my career as a park ranger. So I started out as a seasonal ranger with the City of Portland, was promoted to a full-time park ranger supervisor, and now the Security and Emergency Manager, which oversees the park ranger program for the Parks and Rec Bureau.
Thank you. As the commissioner that's in charge of the Bureau of Emergency Management, when someone introduces themselves as emergency management and they're not part of my team, I have to try to figure out why that isn't, right? Are my people training your people or?
Yes, we work very intimately with the Portland Bureau of Emergency Management. I'm a part of the steering committee that meets there monthly, okay. And we coordinate with not only PBIM, but other bureaus on emergency response that the city has in their COOP plan.
Well, it's wonderful when I learn something new about my own bureaus every day. Right? Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
No problem.
Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Linda Law, and I'm a deputy city attorney, senior deputy. The purpose of exclusion is not to punish any persons for prior conduct, but rather to provide civil and non-punitive enforcement necessary to protect health, welfare, and safety at parks. An exclusion may be issued when a person violates a rule. It is for a defined period. Title 20 includes additional details about the due process and appeals process for exclusions. Exclusions do not prevent the exercise of constitutionally protected rights like free speech. As Commissioner Fish mentioned, there are several key parts of this update. First, it clarifies the difference between an outdoor park and the Bureau's facilities. As Vincente mentioned, facilities include community centers, pools, golf courses, and Portland International Raceway. Second, it identifies certain violations that are more serious, including abuse of children, older adults, persons with mental illness and developmental disabilities, and bias crimes, crimes against other persons such as our patrons and staff, and serious property damage to parks. Third, it clarifies which bureau staff are authorized to issue exclusions. Fourth, it allows more flexibility for length of exclusion for when a person has a prior park violation, when a person engages in serious offenses, and it looks back a period of 3 years instead of two. Finally, as Commissioner Fish already noted, the update retains due process rights, including an oral warning requirement to give people the reasonable opportunity to stop their behaviors with an exception for certain criminal or dangerous activities. The right to appeal an exclusion to the code hearings office, and a stay of exclusion when the appeal for violation occurs at parks, but not at facilities. Currently, when an exclusion is appealed, it is stayed or held off until the appeal is finalized. The update retains that provision for parks and green spaces. At facilities, though, the exclusion will be enforced pending appeal. Thank you for your time, and I'm going to turn back to Vincente for more.
Thank you, Linda.
Commissioner Hardesty had a question.
Thank you. I'm curious as to whether there is a legal definition of bias crimes.
Yes, ma'am. Bias crime under the law is in as defined in the code. It is intimidation crimes that are under ORS 166 and 1.155 and 166-165. Those are essentially harassment, menacing, that kind of crime or assault to which you're doing it because of the person's protected status, and that is the reason why they're called bias crimes.
Okay. Thank you, Linda, again. And just in closing, this entire premise behind the Ranger, the entire premise behind the Ranger program is education and de-escalation with enforcement as a last resort. As I mentioned, our parks and recreation centers are very safe places, but we want to make sure we maintain the safety for all visitors and employees. This narrow update helps us recognize that the differences of the types of properties require different rules, and that certain violations are more serious. Thank you, and we are happy to answer any additional questions that you have.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Just for the record, I want to ask the question in regard to the expansion of exclusion. Is this consistent with the exclusion laws that we have in this chamber? Or is this expanding exclusion laws significantly?
It is similar to what we have for a council chamber under 3.02060 as well.
I just love it when people point out those numbers.
Which is the council
good.
Which is the council proceedings exclusion process, as well as the city buildings exclusion process under Portland City Code 318.
But let me answer the question slightly differently. In the hierarchy of spaces in which we enforce rules, what we have learned time and time again is because this is a public forum and because people have the right to come and present to council, it is afforded the highest level of First Amendment protection. And therefore, our toolkit has been limited in terms of what we can and can't do. We don't have the same level of constitutional protection when we start talking about our facilities. People are not coming to the facilities to petition their government or seek regress or whatever. So we have more latitude, and that's why one of the cornerstones of this policy is that you're not allowed to go to another community center and put other people at risk.
Commissioner Fritz.
So in fact, it's different from what we have here, because if you get ejected from council chambers, you still can go to the Portland building when it's open to other facilities. This is a saying that parks facilities are treated as a group.
And I guess, thank you, Commissioner. I guess the fact that there are 120-day exclusions, and I'm just trying to understand, is there criminal behavior attached to these significant exclusions of 120 days and 270 days? Because as you said, if we can only exclude people from the council chambers for a day or so, it's pretty significant when you start talking about 6 months and longer.
This particular code update preserves the existing exclusion length 180 mm-hmm. for parks by themselves. But when those particular serious offenses occur, that's when we believe that for those more serious offenses, more serious length of exclusion periods should be given, because they are going to be a way for the Park Bureau to manage the properties differently because of the different circumstances.
And so, basically, just for the record, I'm trying to understand. So, if somebody has been found violating laws around child abuse, there would be a criminal prosecution, right? And then the court would determine what the appropriate punishment would be. Are you suggesting that then the Park Bureau would decide, after they've been punished by the courts, that they would also determine what an appropriate punishment would be on top of the punishment that they've already received?
No, that's not the case. And it's a case-by-case basis, but in terms of a park's exclusion and how we want to manage the safety of our facilities, we would implement our exclusion before the court hearing had taken place. So after the court hearing, whatever the courts decide is the appropriate, we would govern ourselves according to that. Our exclusion process would still work its way, and it would not differentiate from what the courts decide. It would not add penalty or decreased penalty based upon what the courts decide, unless the person was found completely not guilty or whatever the case may be of the crime that they were charged with.
Well, if they were found not guilty, then...
If they were found not guilty, we would definitely relinquish what we had, but it would not add to if they were, you know, found not guilty. We wouldn't continue in that.
Thank you.
Commissioner Daly.
Thank you. So this isn't an emergency ordinance. I guess I'd just like to say on the record, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz and Fish and his team for addressing our questions. This policy on its face sent up some yellow flags for me, and I want to say first and foremost, that's no reflection of my confidence in the commissioner or in the Bureau. I'm just always looking out for unintended consequences and always mindful of the fact that these policies very well may outlive our tenure on City Council, and under the direction of a different commissioner in charge or a different mayor, they could be used differently. I'm very satisfied with all the answers I received. I understand this is very narrow. It is addressing serious crimes or violations. And I also want to say I'm really impressed with the training that the Rangers get and just the overall commitment to equity and kind of non-biased enforcement. So not a question, just wanted to share that.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes, we have three people signed up.
All right.
Edith Gillis, Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, and Maggie.
Very good. Come on up. 3 minutes. Name for the record, please.
Hello, my name is Edith Gillis, and among many college degrees, one of them is Recreation Park Management, and another in Elementary Education, and another in Child Development. I want to say that I'm wanting us to have more clarity about exclusion. I want us to have more clarity about the process. I want us to think it through, be much more aware of class and of ability and of culture and of language and bias, those who are perceiving, labeling, and responding to different behaviors. I want us to be very clear about the grievance process and the right of due process. I think this is an improvement, but I have a lot of concerns about it. My concerns are that we're still, what I like is that we're prioritizing human life, safety, health over material things, and that we're putting child life endangerment over dog poop, but I still want us to be aware that there's a difficulty in how you address folks. I spend a lot of time with people in special education and on autism spectrum, and with folks who come from different culture and trauma. And what I've seen at Gabriel Park, at Mount Scott Park, at other places, is well-intended whites who don't get trauma, they don't get racism, they don't understand how in different cultures you do or don't have eye contact, or you do or do not agree to authority even when it's wrong, or that you laugh not because of mockery but because of submission or terror. And I'm concerned that as much as it's far better than the Portland police, we really are not having as much training and understanding. We're not having things in different languages. We're not having ASL training. We're not having a clear signage in facilities. it would be totally inappropriate and dysfunctional for me to be going to a neurotypical able-bodied person and kind of manhandling them and giving them bossing directions, and that may be the safest, kindest, most respectful, and appropriate way with someone on autism spectrum or in a trauma crisis. So I want us to slow down a little bit and add more enrichment and training and be much more aware of consequences.
Thank you. Good morning.
I like your comments. I would like to say that...
Maggie, who are you?
Oh, Maggie, Portland Homeless Town Hall. I would like to say that what about women nursing their babies? Is that offensive? They just excluded a woman nursing her baby.
It's not covered under existing code or the proposed
Okay. And what about, say you've got a transgender woman using a bathroom who needs to shave her legs and her face and put on her makeup. Are they going to exclude her for being perverted or something? Transgendered and LGBTQ and elderly and homeless people from the bathroom because they're needing to do hygiene type things, which going to the bathroom is a hygiene thing. And they're prioritizing locking homeless people out of the bathroom over, say, a pedophile taking a picture of toddlers running around in a fountain. So where's the rainbow sensitivity, and where's the prioritizing children not being objectified by pedophiles and put on the internet? So you see, it can get very confusing. It's like a park ranger can put a sign on a door saying the bathroom is closed for maintenance when there's nothing wrong with the bathroom, but because he saw a transgender person go in there and shave their legs.
Have you had that experience?
Yes, I've seen that at Director's Park.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good afternoon, Mayor. And
you're right. It is. You're right.
For the record, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And when we had the earlier dialogue amongst you all about the amendments, Commissioner Fish mentioned transparency. And I really think that you would best serve the community if you would follow some of the places where the federal government gets it right. The federal government requires institutions of higher education to make available crime reports. And I think that your process here would have been better suited if Parks and Recreation made an anonymized public yearly report on what they've had to do as far as exclusions. So we would know how much ranger time is, or at least how many incidents of rangers having to deal with a serial dog pooper problem versus something much more serious, but that for maybe they only exclude somebody from a Parks and Recreation facility because the district attorney has said there's not enough for them to prosecute them for something else. So I hope that as you work through these 9 pages of things that this definitely looks like things that you're going to go ahead and should vote yes on, but as you noted with the earlier item, it would be even better, and I think it'd be better positioned to improve the policies if there's a public annual report about safety incidences and exclusion incidences in the Parks Department. Commissioner Hardesty will be aware that it's very hard to get bias information out of the Portland Police Department. And while we work with the Portland Police Department to improve their reporting, it would be great to set a better example in the Parks Department. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you.
Mayor, if I
Commissioner Hardesty, you bet.
Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, I just want you to know that was one of the questions I asked when I was being briefed about kind of who's being excluded, what's the demographic breakdown. And one of the things I love about what the Parks Bureau is doing is that they're not keeping their own data. So it is the auditor that is collecting those that information, and it is the auditor's office that could report back to us. And that would be a recommendation that I would have, would be that annually they report back and let us know just what is the demographic breakdown of people who are being excluded? Are there people that ultimately were arrested, and what were the outcome of those cases? It's important that we are transparent about what we're doing with this policy because, again, we have a lot of policies that have very good intention, but at the end of the day, they actually have a very negative impact on the most vulnerable people in our community.
But Thank you, Commissioner.
You're welcome. I was thrilled to find out that because I hate when people tell you how great they are. We have bureaus that report back on their activities and tell us just how wonderful they are. I think it's even better when you have an auditor do an independent assessment about what's taking place.
And during the conversation, it was interesting. I think there was a brief mention of people who might be, their exclusion might be related to mental health. I hope that we can all as a community work together to make sure that the exclusions can also be paired with referrals and connections to services. Because when people are just excluded, but they're left roaming as a danger to the community, not to say danger, but even discomfort, even better if we can help those people mainstream. Thanks very much.
Thank you,
Commissioner Daly.
If I could just add a comment, I know that at least in the event of an interaction with someone experiencing homelessness, that the rangers are trained to connect them with services. And as we know, a lot of our chronically homeless are experiencing mental illness as well. So that
Thanks
is
for
happening,
your
and it's a very reasonable suggestion.
All right, get unanimous, y'all.
Thanks. All right, any further discussion on this item? Very well, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Carla, could